Welcome to day 194 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we will be reading from the Amplified Bible, and we're going to cover 2 Chronicles chapter 27 and Isaiah chapters 9 through 12. So beginning at 2 Chronicles 27 and starting at verse 1. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. He did right in the sight of the Lord, to the extent of all that his father Uzziah had done. However, he did not invade the temple of the Lord, but the people still did corruptly. He built the upper gate of the Lord's house and did much building on the wall of Ophel. Moreover, he built cities in the hill country of Judah, and in the forests he built forts and towers. He fought with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. The Ammonites gave him, that year, 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures each of wheat and of barley. That much the Ammonites paid to him, also the second year and third year. So Jotham grew mighty, for he ordered his ways in the sight of the Lord his God. Now the rest of Jotham's acts and all his wars and his ways, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. But in the midst of judgment, there is the promise and the certainty of the Lord's deliverance, and there shall be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make it glorious by the way of the Sea of Galilee, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of intense darkness and the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. You, O Lord, have multiplied the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you like the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil of battle. For the yoke of Israel's burden, and the staff or rod for goading their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as in the day of Gideon with Midian. For every tramping warrior's war boots and all his armor in the battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from the latter time forth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord has sent a word against Jacob, the 10 tribes, and it has lighted upon Israel, the 10 tribes, the kingdom of Ephraim. And all the people shall know it, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, its capital, who said in pride and stoutness of heart, "The bricks have fallen, but we will build all the better with hewn stones. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will put costlier cedars in their place." Therefore the Lord has stirred up the adversaries, the Assyrians of Rezin, king of Syria, against Ephraim, and he will stir up their enemies and arm and join them together. The Syrians, compelled to fight with their enemies, going before on the east, and the Philistines behind on the west, and they will devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, God's anger is not then turned away, but his hand is still stretched out in judgment. Yet the people turn not to him who smote them, neither do they seek, inquire for, or require as their vital need the Lord of hosts. Therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, the highest and the lowest, high palm branch and low rush in one day. The elderly and honored man, he is the head, and the prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. For they who lead this people cause them to err, and they who are led astray by them are swallowed up, destroyed. Therefore, the Lord will not rejoice over their young men, neither will he have compassion on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is profane and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. For all this, God's anger is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out in judgment. For wickedness burns like a fire. It devours the briars and thorns, and it kindles in the thickets of the forest. They roll upward in a column of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts, the land is darkened and burned up, and the people are like fuel for the fire. No man spares his brother. They snatch in discord on the right hand, but are still hungry, their cruelty not diminished. And they devour and destroy on the left hand, but are not satisfied. Each devours and destroys his own flesh and blood, or his neighbor's. Manasseh thirsts for the blood of his brother Ephraim, and Ephraim for that of Manasseh, but together they are against Judah. For all this, God's anger is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out in judgment. Chapter 10. Woe to those judges who issue unrighteous decrees, and to the magistrates who keep causing unjust and oppressive decisions to be recorded, to turn aside the needy from justice, and to make plunder of the rightful claims of the poor of my people, that widows may be their spoil, and that they may make the fatherless their prey. And what will you do in the day of visitation of God's wrath, and in the desolation which shall come from afar? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you deposit for safekeeping your wealth, and with whom leave your glory? Without me, they shall bow down among the prisoners, and they shall fall, overwhelmed, under the heaps of the slain on the battlefield. For all this, God's anger is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out in judgment. Woe to the Assyrian, the rod of my anger, the staff in whose hand is my indignation and fury against Israel's disobedience. I send the Assyrian against a hypocritical and godless nation and against the people of my wrath. I command him to take the spoil and to seize the prey and to tread them down like the mire in the streets. However, this is not his intention, nor is the Assyrian aware that he's doing this at my bidding. Neither does his mind so think and plan, but it is in his mind to destroy and cut off many nations. For the Assyrian says, are not my officers all either subjugated kings or their equal? Is not Calno of Babylonia conquered like Carchemish on the Euphrates? Is not Hamath in Upper Syria like Arpad, her neighbor? Is not Samaria in Israel like Damascus in Syria? Have any of these cities been able to resist Assyria? Not one. As my hand has reached to the kingdoms of the idols, which were unable to defend them, whose graven images were more to be feared and dreaded and more mighty than those of Jerusalem and of Samaria, shall I not be able to do to Jerusalem and her images as I have done to Samaria and her idols, says the Assyrian? Therefore, when the Lord has completed all his work of chastisement and purification to be executed on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, it shall be that he will inflict punishment on the fruit, the thoughts, words, and deeds of the stout and arrogant heart of the king of Assyria, and the haughtiness of his pride. For the Assyrian king has said, I have done it solely by the power of my own hand and wisdom, for I have insight and understanding. I have removed the boundaries of the peoples and have robbed their treasures, and like a bull I have brought down those who sat on thrones and the inhabitants. And my hand has found like a nest the wealth of the people, as one gathers eggs that are forsaken. So I have gathered all the earth, and there was none that moved its wing or that opened its mouth or chirped. Shall the axe boast itself against him who chops with it? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him who wields it back and forth? As if a rod should wield those who lift it up, or as if a staff should lift itself up, as if it were not wood, but a man of God. Therefore will the Lord of hosts, send leanness among the Assyrians' fat ones, and instead of his glory, or under it, he will kindle a burning like a burning of fire. And the light of Israel shall become a fire, and his Holy One a flame, and it will burn and devour the Assyrians' thorns and briars in one day. The Lord will consume the glory of the Assyrians' forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and it shall be as when a sick man pines away or a standard bearer faints. And the remnant of the trees of his forest shall be few, so that a child may make a list of them. And it shall be in that day that the remnant of Israel, and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob, shall no more lean upon him who smote them, but will lean upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. A remnant will return, Shear Jashub, name of Isaiah's son, a remnant of Jacob to the mighty God. For though your population, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of it will return and survive. The fully completed destruction is decreed, decided upon and brought to an issue. It overflows with justice and righteousness, the infliction of just punishment. For the Lord of hosts, will make a full end, whatever is determined or decreed in Israel, in the midst of all the earth. Therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrian, who smites you with a rod and lifts up his staff against you, as the king of Egypt did. For yet a little while, and my indignation against you shall be accomplished, and my anger shall be directed to destruction of the Assyrian. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up and brandish a scourge against them, as when he smote Midian at the rock of Oreb, and as his rod was over the Red Sea, so shall he lift it up, as he did in the flight from Egypt. And it shall be in that day that the burden of the Assyrian shall depart from your shoulders, and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the fatness which prevents it from going around your neck. The Assyrian with his army comes to Judah. He arrives at Aiath. He passes through Migron. At Mishmash, he gets rid of his baggage by storing it. They go through the pass. They make Geba their camping place for the night. Ramah is afraid and trembles. Gibeah, the city of King Saul, flees. Cry aloud in consternation, O daughter of Galim. Hearken, O Lasha. Answer her, O you poor Anathoth. Madmanah is in flight. The inhabitants of Gibeah seize their belongings and make their households flee for safety. This very day, the Assyrian will halt at Nob, the city of priests, shaking his fist at the mountain of the daughter of Zion, at the hill of Jerusalem. But just when the Assyrian is in sight of his goal, behold, the Lord of hosts, will lop off the beautiful boughs with terrorizing force. The high in stature will be hewn down, and the lofty will be brought low. And he will cut down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon, the Assyrian, with its majestic trees, shall fall by the Mighty One, and mightily. Chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, David's father, and a branch out of his roots shall grow and bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding, and his delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, neither decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness and justice shall he judge the poor and decide with fairness for the meek, the poor and the downtrodden of the earth. And he shall smite the earth and the oppressor with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatted domestic animal together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed side by side, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And it shall be in that day that the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal for the peoples. Of him shall the nations inquire and seek knowledge, and his dwelling shall be glory, his rest glorious. And in that day the Lord shall again lift up his hand a second time to recover, acquire, and deliver the remnant of his people which is left, from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Pathros, from Ethiopia, from Elam in Persia, from Shinar, Babylonia, from Hamath in Upper Syria, and from the countries bordering on the Mediterranean Sea. And he will raise up a signal for the nations, and will assemble the outcasts of Israel, and will gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy and jealousy of Ephraim also shall depart, and they who vex and harass Judah from outside or inside shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex and harass Ephraim. But with united forces Ephraim and Judah will swoop down upon the shoulders of the Philistines, land sloping toward the west. Together they will strip the people on the east, the Arabs. They will lay their hands upon Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites will obey them. And the Lord will utterly destroy, doom, and dry up the tongue of the Egyptian sea, the west fork of the Red Sea. And with his mighty scorching wind he will wave his hand over the river Nile, and will smite it into seven channels, and will cause men to cross over dry shod. And there shall be a highway from Assyria for the remnant left of his people, as there was for Israel when they came up out of the land of Egypt. Chapter 12, verse 1. And in that day you will say, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God, my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and song. Yes, he has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, and by means of his name, in solemn entreaty declare and make known his deeds among the peoples of the earth. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done excellent things gloriously. Let this be made known to all the earth. Cry aloud and shout joyfully, you women and inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Today we heard some amazing chapters from the book of Isaiah. And it's fascinating to note that the very name of Isaiah the prophet means salvation is of the Lord. And you could say that that is really a theme throughout the book of Isaiah. Salvation is of the Lord. And today in particular, we heard a magnificent statement about the Lord himself, but also a verse that is often quoted during Christmas time, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And that scripture found in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 is a beautiful one, and to most people probably brings up pictures of the child in the manger. But it is the next words in that beautiful verse that are so very powerful in terms of giving us insight into who this Messiah really is. It goes on to say in Isaiah 9:6, after, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, it continues, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What powerful descriptive words are spoken here about the Savior that was to come. And imagine how powerful a visionary and a man of God Isaiah really was, because he prophesied these words about the coming Savior who was going to be born of a virgin, according to Isaiah chapter 7, which we heard a few days ago. And he was prophesying more than 600 years before the birth of Christ. And then in chapter 11 of Isaiah, we heard more about this coming Messiah. In verse 1 and 2, it reads, "And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, David's father, and a branch out of his root shall grow and bear fruit." So he was prophesying here that the Messiah would come from the lineage of King David. And then it goes on to give us more powerful descriptors about the Messiah himself. And it says in verse 2, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding, and his delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, neither decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness and justice shall he judge the poor and decide with fairness for the meek, the poor and the downtrodden of the earth. And he shall smite the earth and the oppressor with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked." So these descriptive words talking about the attributes of Jesus Christ, spoken so many hundreds of years before his entrance into the earth, it is a very amazing prophetic revelation that Isaiah the prophet received from the Holy Spirit. And in truth, as we continue through the book of Isaiah, we will hear many other messianic prophecies given to us. In fact, there are 17 chapters in the book of Isaiah where there is some reference or messianic prophecy given. So Isaiah truly was a man who could hear from heaven and declare the word of the Lord. But I want to focus on just one subject today for just a few minutes during our devotional. And it was mentioned in Isaiah chapter 9 because we can make a very personal application to this reference to the Messiah. And in Isaiah 9, we heard these words, "The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end." I want to bring up this issue of Christ's government, Christ bearing the government upon his shoulder. May I ask you a simple question? And that is, how much of your life have you allowed Christ Jesus to bear upon his shoulder? How much of your life is truly governed by the Lord Jesus himself? Is there any area in your life where you've not allowed him to govern, but you've allowed your flesh to be in charge or in command, where you don't bow the knee to the government of Christ in your life? You know, this beautiful verse that tells us that one of the names of the Lord is Wonderful Counselor, to me is so beautiful, because there is no doubt that in our society today, there is such a longing for wise counsel. And it truly can be proven simply by the number of books that are sold in the United States alone about counsel, whether it's financial counsel or health counsel or some area where people are seeking the knowledge that they need for their lives. And here we've been told that there is a Messiah for us who is Wonderful Counselor, who's willing to bear the government of your life upon his own shoulders, who has borne everything for you by his death on the cross. And it says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. In other words, the more that you allow the Lord to govern in your life, your decision making, your choice of where you're going to live and where you're going to work and how you're going to conduct your life and how you govern your time, all of those things, if you release them to the Lord's government where God was governing those things for you, then the increase of peace for your life would also have no end. You know, when you have the wisest counselor counseling you, you'll have peace in your life. There's no fear. You know exactly what to do. This is what the intent of the Lord is for people who would accept his government in their lives. God wants you to surrender to the government of Jesus Christ in every area. Not where you'll let him govern part and you'll govern part. He wants to be king of all, Lord of all of your life. Not part of your life, all of your life. Is he Lord of all, or is he not Lord at all? This is essentially the question that's posed to us on a very personal level here in the book of Isaiah, when we are told that the Lord has come to the earth that the government might be upon his shoulder. And his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He wants to be your Mighty God, your Father, your Prince of Peace. But the increase of his government in your life needs to be expanded to every nook and cranny, every corner of your life. That will bring an increase of peace in your life, whether it's financial issues, whether it's who you're going to marry, or whatever the issue may be that's on your heart right now. Allow the Lord to increase his government, his governing of your life. And then with that will come an increase of peace that shall have no end. God bless you and give you a victorious week.